Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
Good morning and welcome to Pro-Sanctity's Holiness Helpers radio program offered on behalf of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. My name is Joan Patton and I'm an apostolic oblate, joined with a special guest today,
Monica Heichel, in formation to be an apostolic oblate.
Yes, and we're both very excited and happy to be here. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness and was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta, and it's comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camps for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation, because holiness should be and is in all of those areas. The call to holiness is for every single person, no matter where they're at or what they're doing. So the work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates, which is an order, a secular institute order in the Catholic Church, and it's a form of consecrated life in the church, who are called to be in the world but not of the world. And we're called to be like leaven is in bread. And I often ask kids this, and what does yeast do in bread? And they instantly know it makes it rise. And you can't see the yeast, you can't taste the yeast after the bread is baked, but you will notice if the yeast is not there. it does make a difference. So for more information about the Pro-Sanctity Movement, we invite you to check out our website, www.prosanctity.org. We're also on Facebook, and you can find us in a variety of ways. All right. But today, Monica and I are here to talk specifically about the gift of consecrated life to the church in light of the Feast of the Presentation, which is when the church recalls and celebrates the gift of consecrated life. And in 1997, Pope John Paul II, recognizing the benefit of consecrated life in the church for as many years as it has existed in the church, he put and established a day called World Day for Consecrated Life. And it's been developing, really, for about 24 years now. And it's a beautiful day with a specific purpose. And we are still striving to understand that purpose. And it was so great because Pope John Paul laid out this purpose, which we're going to talk about today. And Pope Benedict last year reiterated it, which is beautiful watching the Pope just build on each other and give that gift to us. So we just want to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us in our conversation, because every gift is from the Holy Spirit, including every gift that the consecrated life, the members and the institutes and the orders give to the church. They're all expressions of the Holy Spirit. And so it's all about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. So the Holy Spirit is with us also today. Joan, Monica, and the Holy Spirit. Very good. All right. So the purpose and the reason for World Day for Consecrated Life, John Paul II saw three important reasons, and they are very simple, with the first one being to give praise and thanks for the gift of consecrated life and the church to thank God for it, to recognize where this gift is coming from, to move our hearts in gratitude, to respond in public gratitude and praise for the gift that God is continually giving the church. He never leaves the church alone. He never will abandon the church. He's always providing, and he's very creative in his providing. And so he does it in the wide variety of charisms that the church receives through the founders, through the saints, through consecrated orders. So that is the first reason. The second reason is to promote the knowledge and esteem for the consecrated life, to have that public witness, that ongoing formation and awareness that nuns do exist, you know? People do give their lives totally to God, like we do, like we read about in the storybooks of the saints. You know, people still do that. And do we know that? Our children being invited to imagine this vocation, to consider it, our young adults being invited to consider it, to approach it, to not be afraid of it, or to voice those fears and see, to see what the truth really is, what the truth of consecrated life offers. So that ongoing awareness. And then the final reason that John Paul gave to the church was it's for the consecrated people themselves, to give them an opportunity to come together to renew their commitment and to give thanks and to recall and to observe and to share the marvels and the miracles the Lord has worked for them. Because in any relationship, it's a two-way street. And so we have people who have committed their lives totally to God, that total gift of self to God in consecrated life. But there's a response there. God totally receives them and totally provides and gives continuously, is manifesting his love to each particular person, each community, and each institute. And that's something to be shared, because every movement of love that we receive from God and notice from God expresses God and needs to be shared, because we reveal God and everybody else gets to learn about God more. Oh, God does that. We learn new things about God every day. So recalling the graces received in the particular vocations that we have responded to is very important also. And then there's a certain element of coming together, the church coming together and giving that public thanks and that public praise to God and to share these marvels, because it affirms one another. We realize we are the body of Christ, and here it is. Here it is manifested, and the Pope is at the head, leading the church in this this celebration. So that is the World Day for Consecrated Life, and it's celebrated in different ways throughout the world. And I've been fascinated by watching how other places celebrate it. But our model is Rome, and our Holy Father this year celebrates Vespers every year with the consecrated people in Rome, and gives an address. And we had the fortunate opportunity of being represented this year.
Our member, Jessica Carey, got to go to Vespers with the Holy Father yesterday. She is an American oblate who happens to be in Rome for this year. And so she really was a representative not only of various consecrated people in our institute, but especially of me and Joan and the others at our house, because she's from our house.
So, from our community, yes.
She got to say hello to the Holy Father from a distance.
So it was very exciting. And I talked to her briefly, and she said she was able to understand his German accent as he spoke Italian. So it was great. But so I felt like I was there also, because I got to celebrate through her with our Holy Father, who is delighted by the gift of consecrated life, and to realize, you know, he doesn't know me, but he knows who I am in that sense then too. So it's just a beautiful way to watch how the church is continually coming together and giving thanks to God. So let's just take a look at that. And Monica and I have both been called to consecrated life, and as apostolic oblates, members of a secular institute, we have been called to give that total gift of self to God through the profession of vows and through a promise of apostolate, and that availability to the pro-sanctity movement. This is why our vocations exist. There's a particular reason that God really provides to the church particular orders with specific charisms. And it's for a response. There is a need in the church, but then God provides that response. And so Bishop De Quinta started the Apostolic Oblates in 1950 as a response that he was looking at young people in the church and the particular situation of the world after the war, that there is a need for people to be aware that they're called to be holy. Nobody even understood what holiness is, or that's reserved for the people, that it was reserved for the religious or reserved for priests or for particular people. But Bishop De Quinta was firmly convinced, and he spent the rest of his life developing that, no, it's for everybody, but there has to be someone dedicated to helping people remember this. And so our vocation was born. And God, seeing that need, it's still there. The need is still there. Our institute's mission is still needed. He still calls people. And so he's called Monica and myself to the Apostolic Oblation, and I am very grateful. I'm so thankful for my vocation, and I love my vocation. And I can't imagine doing anything else. And
that's because we have the best vocation.
Yes.
So, sorry to all of you listeners who aren't apostolic oblates out there. Personally, though, when the Lord calls us, it's a very personal, particular call. And so I, too, express that gratitude that he created the Institute for me and me for the Institute as a perfect fit. And so just like someone who is called to matrimony, which is also a beautiful vocation, you aren't called just to marry anybody. You have been called to marry your spouse and grow in a relationship of love with that person for the rest of your life. And we, too, are called to grow in a relationship with Christ in this very particular way as our spouse, as the whole church moves forward towards the end of where the marriage feast of the Lamb, and we can start participating in that now in many ways.
Yes, yes. So your vocation is the best vocation.
Thank you.
I was talking to the radio listeners. You too. Because it is God's plan, and God plans for each one of us in great love, plans of happiness. And so that is why we want to respond with all that we are to our vocation. And today we're looking at the vocation of consecrated life, and in particular, our own experience of that. But there is that ongoing need for awareness of consecrated life in the church, and why it is a gift, and why is it needed, and how is it different from the call of every disciple to go preach the good news? There's a lot of needs in the church, and we're fulfilling them in all sorts of ways. But why is consecrated life necessary?
Well, it's good you ask, because there's this beautiful document written by John Paul II called Vita Consecrata, Consecrated Life. And I have been reading it recently, and it's absolutely beautiful, showing the beauty of this gift that the Lord has given to his church. Consecrated life didn't just come about because some smart people decided this would be a good idea. It's because Christ established that. And right here in paragraph 14, he says that Christ called some people not only to welcome the kingdom of God into their own lives, but also to put their lives at its service, leaving everything behind and closely imitating his own way of life. So all Christians are called to evangelize. All Christians are called to give themselves to the Lord. I mean, that's what being a disciple is. It's to love father and mother more, it's to love Christ more than father or mother, more than anything. But some people have this particular call of following the way that Christ lived. It is absolutely beautiful. I just, over and over again, am amazed at the beauty of this, that this is worth giving up everything because Christ first lived it. This is an imitation of Christ living poverty, chastity, and obedience as he did in order to be completely at the disposal of, so to speak, the Father's will, to do whatever he wants, to be completely available through these vows. So I'm very, very grateful for that dimension in the church and that my particular call within that.
Yes. And in the Vita Consecrata, it is, as Monica said, a beautiful document, and I encourage everyone to go find it online on the Vatican's website. Just type in Consecrated Life or Vita Consecrata. And it's long, but it's so good. And John Paul II, I mean, just breaks everything apart. He looks at the vows. He looks at the variety of expressions of charisms and expressions of consecrated life in the church. You will learn something new, I guarantee you. But he also looks at really how God loves in that particular way, how we receive love through our vocation, how the vows are expressions of that love. And again, as Monica mentioned, that imitation of Jesus. But really, what is happening? What is Jesus doing when he is practicing the vow of poverty, as it were? You know, like really what he's receiving, is how he's allowing the Father, how he's being dependent on the Father, and allowing the Father to provide for him. If you think about that for a minute, what does that look like? And that's what myself as a consecrated person am being invited into, to allow the Father to provide for me as he provided for Jesus while he was on earth. Wow. It's noble. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's something that moves my heart to great gratitude.
It's not just a renunciation. It's not just giving up
things. Stuff, money.
Right. But it's actually a receiving, like you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is so beautiful and is what people need to be made aware of, because I remember in my own discernment, and I had not read Vita Consecrata before, but I was aware of the vows. Okay. So, you know, chastity means I won't get married, and poverty means I won't have money, and obedience means I'll do whatever they tell me. All right, let's go. I have no idea what I'm getting into. But really, it's saying yes to being loved by God. Oh, I want that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in any relationship, in any vocation, it unfolds gradually. You know, I mean, you totally give yourself, and then you totally are received. And then later on, you understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But there is a deepening there, because it's real. You know, it's a real relationship. And God, he respects our humanity, and he fulfills our desires. He fulfills every desire of our heart when we say yes, when we think we're giving things up. He is the fulfillment of our desires. But for people who have given their life to God through consecration, it's beautiful, and then you can see that total self-gift being received and given, mm-hmm. taken.
And part of, you keep talking about charisms, mm-hmm. and maybe I do too, but sometimes it can be a little tricky to understand what a charism is. It's a particular gift of the Spirit to fulfill a need in the church. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of the various charisms is an invitation to all of us that even within our own institute, part of our charism is to help promote the charisms of others, to give them a support. And it's not, well, I'm going to do this and this is my job and being territorial, but it's really about fulfilling this role in the church that has been given to us by the Father through the Spirit, that it's to do great things with him in a particular way, and not just be running here and there.
Right, not just doing nice things for people.
Mm-hmm. Right, but this is truly a gift, uh-huh. from God.
Right, and it's God's plan for right now. That's the beauty too. I mean, every institute, every consecrated institute responding to the charism that they've been given from the beginning of their existence, the beginning of their foundation, is providing and is part of God's plan for now. You know, isn't that beautiful? Like everything that the saints received and gave to their members and passed on, and from our own founder, Bishop De Quinto, what we are responding now to is part of God's overall plan. I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. We're part of, it's a little cog on the wheel, but it's needed, necessary, and God wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing. So in your own experience, Monica, as you are striving for fulfilling God's will and really aspiring towards that consecration, what as we look at the marvels and miracles of our own life and our own vocations, what have you received recently?
Well, part of what I have received is this gratitude for my vocation as a gift from God, not something that I had to work out for myself or invent. As God called me, the gratitude that I was able to respond, I'm just amazed. Anytime I think back to my vocation story, I am amazed that I said yes, that I even knew where to turn and was able to take the next step to get to where I am today. And really seeing the hand of God in that, because I didn't know where I was going. And that is the way the Lord invites us to walk with him, is to just pay attention to what he wants me to do now, what he wants me to do, what's the next little step, so that we can eventually reach our vocation or whatever big projects in our minds, big projects that he's inviting us to. He's the one who is initiating, and he is the one who's giving the grace to respond, even when I'm not able to see it. And so looking back and saying, oh my gosh, how did I ever get here? Really, it's a marvel. And then that he has sustained me and continues to help me grow as we journey together. Mm-hmm. And he has stayed faithful, stayed, and continues to draw me closer to himself. It's not just, all right, I'm here, I'm done, and now I can do my work. No, it's all about a relationship with him, that he continues to invite me to a deeper and deeper relationship with him.
Right. Yeah. And what gives me great hope and great peace is that God desires our vocation and our faithfulness more than we do. So he will continue to work hard in that sense, mm-hmm. in providing the grace and inviting us to respond, and showing us great marvels and miracles, and giving us that support, an example of the saints and others in the world right now, even, like he wants this. And so it gives me hope. And as we look at vocations, as we pray for vocations, more vocations to consecrated life in the church. And we've seen studies and we've heard news stories that vocations numbers are down, you know. But to realize God wants this. God wants consecrated life in the church to continue, and he is providing and he's calling. And there is that room to respond, that free will that he's given us. That is why it's such a gift, because it's the gift of ourselves. But he's going to provide the grace to respond also, you know, and as you said, then we have to say yes. But it's that daily yes that builds up to that. So when we look at vocational discernment, you know, where am I being called today? Where am I being called to serve today? Where am I called to be faithful today? And again, where am I called to be? How can I be holy today? And what do I need? Did you tell God that? mm-hmm. So as we continue in that relationship with God, and we know who's asking us, to who we're saying yes to, and that's just it too. We realize how much God loves us, and he's inviting us to live this life of love. Any sane person would say yes. But it's gradual sometimes, and that's okay. And sometimes people just leap in and then figure out what they're doing later. But mm-hmm. both are right, and God will work with both types. Right. But he continues to invite, and so we are invited to continue to pray for those people who have said yes to the hidden sacrificial offerings that are made every day that no one knows. But it's sustaining the church and the world. We don't know about the little mini sacrifices of the faithful, consecrated people in the world who are just living their vocation and responding. And when you think about it, it's beautiful. We're going to find all about this in heaven. And then there's that public witness too of the religious in the world who are responding faithfully to the mission that they've been given, and living that life and inviting others and just being engaging and showing people really that it's possible. It's not always practical, but but it's amazing. It's fun. It's God's will, and it's good. And then we have, again, that hidden witness, like as Monica and myself, we're a secular institute. We're called to be a hidden presence in the world. We're called to be a faithful presence as well, to our own mission, and to provide that underneath support to the people that we work with, to the members of our movement, and in the church. So
hopefully we will be faithful. We all pray for each other.
You should pray for us too. All right. Well, thank you, Monica, for coming today and talking.
Thanks, Joe.
A little bit about your experience, and we'll have her back on when she's getting ready to make her first vows. This is part of what we do. I had to do it. So we thank all of you for listening today, and ask you again to just keep consecrated life in your prayers and praying for vocations, praying for the faithfulness of the members, and thank the people that you do know, and give them your support and your affection and your love, because you do reveal God to them as well. All right. So I'd just like to close in prayer, and ask Our Lady of Trust, the model of all vocations, to be with us and to help us to be attentive to the Holy Spirit's guidings and movements for each one of us and for the Church. Immaculate Heart of Mary,
true model of every holiness, give trust to become saints.
Bishop Jacinta,
pray for us.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.